sure when I walked in, I saw even the young men had on ties. Thought I saw a newborn, 2 days old, in the back with a tie on. But I feel like the Lord has got me a ram in the thicket, so I'm going to help myself out tonight. Preach with an ascot on tonight. Praise God. Anyway, I can't do that. Anyway, praise God. You can be seated. Thank you, Pastor Linder, Sister Linder, this wonderful church family. We have not forgotten, not for a moment, how blessed we were to be with you folks a while back, not too, I guess maybe 5 or 6 weeks ago. And you left such an impression on us, the entire church family, and just your love for God and your worship, and just how you try to do everything with excellence. It made such a mark on us, and we have gone home, and we have tried to implement some of that, and we're going to continue to implement some of that. We actually feel like the timing of this is so critical, not only what your pastor felt for perhaps God using our ministry here, but definitely their ministry in this church to help us at our home church, Powerhouse, where it's at. It's at a place right now where it needs a lot of what you have to go to the next level. And so I'm very thankful that God joined us together. And I know that God has a way of working those things out, and he does it so well. And so we appreciate that. I'm not going to take very long. I'm going to step out of the way after here just a few minutes. I've even got a timer on myself. And I know that the Lord has given a word to my wife for this service tonight. Amen. In the entirety of the Word of God, now let me say this. All of us understand, I believe, in the day and age that we live in, that one of the biggest issues going on right now across the world is about identity, right? God set certain things way back in the beginning, and he identified them. And any time that someone tries to change that identity, then they're messing with God. And they're messing with the wrong thing. And of course, that is so relevant and current right now in what we're seeing in our world. So I think it would be easy to say that we're living in an identity crisis today. But I'd like to bring it a little bit closer to home and say that the church has been living in an identity crisis for quite some time now. Your pastor will set me straight later if I'm out of line about this, but I happen to believe that the church is responsible for what the enemy is allowed to do in our world. And when we talk about Azusa Street like something happened there a long time ago that we don't do anymore. We talk about Topeka, Kansas like things happened back then that don't happen anymore. We even find ourselves talking about the day of Pentecost as if it doesn't happen like that anymore. And somehow, different ones of us, I believe this church is trying to hold on to that identity marker that God has given to his people. But by and large, it seems like the church has lost its grip on the central identifying marker of the church that God gave. And I want to just take a few moments here and see if I can't dig that out. So in the entirety of the Word of God, the foundation upon which everything is built is the identity of God himself, who he is. Rule number one, Brother Shatwell drilled this into us, and I use it today, and that is that he is God and I am not. The identity of God is made up of so many things, it's really beyond what we as his greatest creation can even comprehend. Some of the identity markers of God is that God is love. God is holy. God is Alpha, Omega, and so on. God is peace. God is hope, etc. But the core part of God's identity is that God is one. You cannot divide him. Here are some of the very thoughts of God about himself, about his own identity. These scriptures tell us the central identifying marker of God. 1 Timothy 2, for there is one God. Isaiah 44, I am the first, I am the last, and beside me there is no God. In 43 of Isaiah, I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. In 1 Corinthians 8, but to us there is but one God. Deuteronomy 6:4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. James 2:19, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Back to Isaiah 43, that you may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. Revelation 1, I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Jude 1, to the only wise God. Isaiah 42, I am the Lord. And Mark 12, Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments, he reiterates. Deuteronomy 6:4, I'm one. And then Ephesians 4:6, just the first two words of Ephesians 4:6 says it all, one God. Over and over, God keeps reminding humanity that you were created by one to be one. He keeps declaring that you cannot divide me. You cannot pluralize me. You cannot split me into a multiplicity of beings, because I am one. If you change that central identifying marker of God's identity, then you've changed God. And he states to us in Malachi chapter 3, I don't change. I kind of paraphrase that a little bit. I am the Lord, I change not. Everything changes. We change. Everything around us changes. But what we are all inside of doesn't change. And we are all inside of one God. God declares this in Malachi, so this is at the beginning of four centuries of silence. God is not going to speak for 400 years. Not one single word will he speak. He shut up the heavens. The lines of communication were disabled. And God did not speak for four centuries, but one of the last things that he told them was to remember, I am the Lord and I don't change. Don't forget that. It'd been a terrible time to be alive, by the way, during those 400 years when God wasn't speaking. Then after four centuries, the line of communication is opened back up from heaven to earth, and all of a sudden, now they knew God in various ways in the Old Testament. Some knew him as a burning bush. Some knew him as the shaker of mountains. Some knew him as the one that parted the Red Sea, and all these different ways. But now this one God decides that I'm going to show myself in a way that I never have. And I know I'm preaching to the choir, but just let me preach to the choir for a minute. Now they're seeing the Word made flesh. Not a pluralizing of God, just a new and better manifestation of the one God. Now they're hearing God robed in flesh say things like this: when you've seen me, Philip, you've seen the Father. Now, let me move past that part. I had to identify God, even though I know I'm preaching to the choir. Then he begins to prophetically speak his body into existence when we hear him say, upon this rock. By the way, the rock is his identity. Amen? The rock is the identity of who God is. It is not a church program. It is not a Sunday school program. It is not the best music in the world. The rock upon which he built his body is the identity of who God is. Matter of fact, what the Holy Ghost revealed to Simon was so powerful that God manifest in flesh looked at the man who always said it wrong. Always got it wrong, got rebuked time and time again, but something came out of him that wasn't of him. And when he said that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, when that central core identifying marker came out of his mouth, he said, we ain't gonna call you Simon anymore. Something changed that day in that man. How many of you remember the day you got the revelation? Some of you might have been born with it, but you can still remember the day that it became real to you. And it wasn't just what mama said and what daddy said and what the grandparents said, but you saw it for yourself. And if that hasn't happened for you yet, it needs to happen tonight. You need to see it for yourself. So upon this rock of identity, I will build my body. Not bodies, but one body. Now, I know we live in a world where you can find a building on every corner, but there is only one church. Don't ever mistake that. Amen. There's only one body of Christ. So the rock, the foundation upon which this whole thing is built, is who God is. Do you think that God is so conscientious about who he is that he wouldn't be just as conscientious about what his body is? He said, I will build my body upon my identity. And the core of that identity for God is that he's one. And when he sees that humanity has blurred the lines of his central identifying marker of his body, he proceeds, this is scripture, with violent passion to strip away all counterfeit identity markers to reveal the name of the one central identifying marker of his body. I speak of when he pulled out a whip and began to beat them out of a physical house, because they tried to bring in different identity markers into his house and declare that this is church. And this is what he said. He was so mad. This is the part of God robed in flesh that we have a hard time with, because he was furious. But you don't forget, everything in the Old Testament is, I'm almost done, a schoolmaster to the New Testament. And we saw this anointing of fury one time before, at least once before in the Old Covenant. And that was in a man named Jehu. An anointing of fury has got to come upon, I declare it in the name of Jesus, upon the church today. We have got to get furious in the Holy Ghost. It has got to burn inside of us. And after he had set it straight and he brought back to the core what the identity of his house was supposed to be, this is what he said: and my body shall be called a body of prayer. He named the core part of what the church is supposed to be. So when we don't identify as prayer, is the identity of the body. When we do not pray, we no longer identify with who he is. I don't care how many scriptures we can quote about how there's only one God. If we don't pray, and I'm not talking about now I lay me down to sleep. My Lord, I know I'm standing in an apostolic Pentecostal church. I know we don't believe in just now I lay me down to sleep, but I'm talking about prayer that shuts up hell and opens up heaven. Prayer that causes cancers to leave bodies. Isn't it something? We have to go back and do a history, a study of history. We have to really dig deep to find out, what did the elders have? What did they have? How could they have services the way that they had? Because they didn't have the music. Have you ever seen any of the old clips of some of the tent revivals or brush harbors they had? We thank God for it, but it's hard to listen to that music. I ain't gonna lie. You know what I'm saying? Is he playing a banjo? We don't even allow tambourines at Powerhouse. I don't know what I'd do if somebody walked in with a banjo. I probably should qualify the tambourine part. I'm a drummer. I don't like tambourine players. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I almost lost the Holy Ghost three times on Sunday, preaching at another church, and they had several tambourine players. The only thing worse than one is two or three. Praise God. Lord, let me stop. Help me stop, Jesus. I'm almost. So when prayer slips from being the core attribute of his body, then we're living in crisis. And I'm telling you right now, the reason why you and I are seeing what we're seeing in the political arena, and it seems like there's such a stronghold that is forming and been forming, and they are really building this huge platform upon which they're going to preach their message. and they're going to ram it down the throat of everybody in the entire world. But can I tell you tonight, and I'm a part of the body just like you are, the whole reason why that stuff is here is because we allowed it. We have tried and tried and tried, and I speak as a whole. We have tried to do it every other way and keep looking back at history and wondering, how did they have Azusa Street, and how did they have it in Topeka, Kansas? How did that happen on the day of Pentecost? Prayer. One word. It was prayer. We don't read about music. We don't read about fancy messages. We read about prayer. I can't help, come. I can't help but look back in my own life, and I see so many times where I myself tried to make it happen by various means. I tried so hard to, and I thought, well, I was in pre-service prayer for 30 minutes. And I love pre-service prayer. We have pre-service prayer. I pray to God we always have pre-service prayer. But that's not even the prayer I'm talking about. He said, well, we have Tuesday night prayer at home, and we've made a night where the body comes together, the local body, and we have prayer. And that's not even the prayer I'm talking about. Those are all parts of prayer that we try to bring in to enhance the prayer that's supposed to be going on, the one that's called praying without ceasing, praying constantly, praying faithfully, praying with all prayer and supplication, praying until your body hurts, praying until your mind is exhausted, praying until we have no words, so His word has to begin to flow through us. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. Praying until our flesh is completely broken, so His Spirit can finally communicate through us the things that we can't even utter. There have been many things that have tried to divide the identity of God, and it would be so easy to go to the Council of Nicaea, 325 AD, and work from there about that. There have been so many things that have tried to divide and pluralize the identity of God. But it never changed Deuteronomy 6 and 4. No matter what anyone's tried to do, it doesn't change who God is. Right? Eight people on the ark. Just remember that. And there have been many things that have tried to divide the identity of His body. So here's the last thing I'll leave with you. Here's what we have to fight for, and it's a fight. It's a fight. Now the whip has to be in our hand. He was showing us something. Now remember, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Please do not go to some local church house or this church house Sunday with the whip in your hand and start beating on people not praying. Okay? I give all the leaders permission to shoot you on sight. I believe we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So we're fighting spirits. So you got to get this whip in your hand now. And you got to fight for the identity of His body. Fight to keep that identity. If what we are wearing in the spirit does not identify with Him, we got to take it off. If what we're putting on and putting inside of us and saying, well, so-and-so does it, or I read it in so-and-so's book, or if it, the Bible is the standard. If it doesn't line up to the Word of God, it's not a part of His identity. I don't care how cute it was said or how many seminars they've sold out saying it. If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, it is not a part of His identity. Amen. Come on, can we receive this word tonight? Can you lift your hands and just take a moment and begin to pray right now? And I say in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that there is a release in Heaven View tonight, a release in the Spirit, where people that are sitting in this room are going to get an appetite for prayer that they've never had, a hunger for it, a thirst for it. In the name of Jesus, I declare it in Jesus' name.
Oh, that's good. Hallelujah, Jesus. We're hungry for you. Oh, I'm thirsty for you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Go ahead, tap in just a minute, Jesus. I want you. I hunger for you. I'm thirsty for you. Jesus, I want your anointing to flow tonight. And I trust your anointing. I trust your anointing tonight. Hallelujah. The only reason that his anointing would not be able to flow would be the lack of repentance. So I want us to, before we go any further, if you haven't got a chance to do it yet, I want you to lift your hands in Jesus. I want to have a heart to heart with you right now. God, I want you to rid me of anything that's not like you, that hurts you, that offends you. Lord, anything that I thought, anything I've said and done, my motives, God, check my motives tonight. God, rid me of my flesh, God. Lord, I want to fall on the rock so the rock won't be falling on me. I come to you broken. I come to you broken tonight, oh God. Jesus, speak through your people. Oh, I need you. I need you. I need you. I know it's a Wednesday night. God, I know we have things to do tomorrow, God, but I need your glory to fall in this house. I need your spirit to fall in this place. I surrender my will, not my will. God, your will be done. Oh, Lord, I repent today. Oh, I die today. I die today. It's not about what Tracy wants. I've got to have what you want. 2019 is a different year. It's a year of power. It's a year of passion. It's a year of prayer. It's a year of promise. I declare it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. There's a hunger in this house. There's a hunger for more. There's a hunger for more. You know, the day that we ever get too full for him is the day that we backslide. You wonder, I used to wonder what happened. These people were so on fire. They were used of God. And then it seemed just overnight, they were gone. And they were going down a road that was ugly. But it wasn't overnight. I realize it happened over a time. They just became full of other things. There wasn't hunger for the word like they used to be. There wasn't a hunger for prayer like there used to be. They had filled themselves up with the things that really didn't matter. I've come by Winston-Salem tonight, and I'm thankful to be here. I submit myself to my husband and Pastor Linder. If I say you're doing anything wrong, you grab me and sit me down. It's a privilege and honor to be here. But I come by to ask you today, is there anybody hungry? Is there anybody hungry in 2019? I don't care what he did last year. I don't even care what he did last. I do care, but you know, I want more. I don't want it to satisfy me where there's nothing inside of me. You know, I've grown up in church, and I've done all the things, and I've been all the places. I've been to the youth stuff, and I've been to the lady stuff, and I've been here, and I've been there, and I've done the things, but I don't ever want to get so full that I don't want anything else. The day that I become satisfied is the day that I become backslid. I'm going to say that again. The day that I become satisfied is the day that I'm good as gone. And 2019 is not the time to turn around. 2019 is the time to press on toward the mark. I'm pressing on. I don't care who goes. I want to pull them as long as I can. But as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. Amen. Luke chapter 1, verse 53. We're reading not too long ago in Luke with our church family. And this verse, just God gave it to me. He hath filled the hungry. Everybody say the hungry with good things. He has filled the hungry with good things. And the rich he hath sent empty away. Another version says it like this. And the rich he sent away with empty hands, empty handed. I want to be hungry. See, God doesn't really care who I am or what I grew up with, or he doesn't even care about my past anymore. His blood forgives me and cleanses me. He looks at me now and he says, Tracy, how hungry are you? How hungry are you? I've got some things for you I want to give to you, but you can't make somebody eat that's not hungry. You just can't do it. If you're not hungry, you can't do it unless it's In Town Donuts. And then you might have room for just one. Amen. Amen. You may be seated tonight. I'm hungry for the good things. The good things, the joyful things. You know, Luke 10, it's a hard scripture for me to digest, and y'all pray that the Lord will help me. But Jesus talks about to all the Marthas. I'm a Martha. This is why I have a hard time with it, because I'm the one behind. I want to work. When I do things for the Lord, it makes me feel good. When I do things for people, it makes me feel good. But Jesus basically rebuked Martha. He said, honey, look at your sister. I paraphrase too. Look at your sister. No, I know that I've heard all kinds of commentaries and read all kinds of books about it. But the truth of the matter is, I don't think Mary was lazy. I do believe she chose the good things. And if I'm hungry for the good things, then I won't go away empty-handed. I'll have something to give. Sometimes we don't have anything to give that person on our job because we haven't hungered after the good things. We filled ourselves up on mess, on distractions, on entertainment, on things that really don't matter to anything. And I wonder why. Where's the overflow? Because Wednesday is a good day, but then Thursday I'm tired again and I don't have anything to give. On Sunday, it's a powerful move of God, but Monday, I'm just worn out, and I don't realize that the person sitting next to me needs what I've got, but I just haven't chosen to hunger after the things of the Lord. Matthew 5:6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, and his promise is you shall be filled. I ask you again, is there anybody hungry? Is there anybody hungry? I know. Who am I? I'm just a nobody from nowhere. Just happened by in Winston-Salem. But I'm asking you tonight, are you hungry? Because if you're hungry, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what your name is. It doesn't matter what your situation is. I don't care what you're in right now. God doesn't care. He is powerful enough to pick you up and fill you up. If you're hungry enough to lift up your cup to him and say, God, I don't have much, but I'm just yours. And would you fill me up with the good things? Fill me up, Jesus. You can't keep a hungry person away from the table. When I'm cooking dinner and they're smelling that garlic sauteing, and they don't even like garlic. My husband doesn't even like onions. He promises you he doesn't eat them. He doesn't know that everything that you cook, you got to saute some onions. He is bound to determine he's never ate an onion in his life. But when those onions and that garlic starts cooking, I hope you didn't come hungry tonight. When they start cooking, it doesn't matter if you don't like it. It starts smelling good. You know, a few days ago, I was just craving vegetables, and so I started sauteing vegetables. And with my kids and vegetables, they don't mix. They want chicken nuggets. Disgusting. And they're coming in there, and they're hungry. You don't eat anything until dinner. And, oh, my, Mom, what is that? That smells so good. What is that? I said, oh, you girl, you got to try this. This is some good stuff. Oh, I wouldn't do it, no matter how hungry. But she came around. She smelled something. When you're hungry, it kind of makes you do something. Kind of, you know, somebody asked me one time, a man in our church, he said, we all have a habit of saying, I'm starving, my kids, I'm starving. Just ate 2 hours ago. I promise you, we left the restaurant, came straight here, and we stopped at a gas station, and my little girl said, Mom, I'm hungry. You just ate 30 minutes ago. Mama, I'm starving. And the man had told me at the church, he said, have you ever eaten out of a trash can? And I said, no, I haven't. He said, I have. He said, you're not starving until you eat out of a trash can. Convicted me. You know, in Luke 1, Zacharias and Elizabeth, the Bible says that they were blameless and they were upright. They were good, righteous people like you and I. They were devout. He was in the temple praying. He was just doing everything. I'm sure she was a holy, righteous woman, or we would have heard otherwise. They're good people. I don't know when they got the promise for their son. I don't know. But I know when the angel came to him, he had been praying about it for years, and he said, don't you worry about it. God is going to keep his promise. He was troubled by the angel. In my mind, and I may be so out there, But I wonder sometimes if we pray about things and we ask God for to move in this situation, but then we just kind of go through the motions. And, you know, we're faithful, we're upright, we're righteous, we're blameless, but we're just kind of coasting. And then when the Lord says, okay, I've come for your words, Daniel, I'm ready to work, I'm whatever it is. He, you know, in scripture, he's gone, I've come for your prayers, I've heard your prayers. Oh, that's right. I wonder sometimes if we just go through the motions and we don't really believe God's going to do what he said he would do. Who needs a John the Baptist miracle? I need a John the Baptist miracle. I need a promise to come and set my world on fire. You know, sometimes we're weary. We're weary. We're exhausted. I know that. I'm a tired mama. I know I'm preaching to the choir, like my husband said. But I know this, and sometimes we're fearful, we're worried, there's anxiety, maybe we feel like we're not good enough, we don't have time, but I have dealt with fear personally, that I haven't been good enough, that I'm just a saint's kid. Who am I? The enemy is such a great deceiver. He'll tell you anything if you'll believe it. But I have come to find out that hunger takes away all fear. When you're hungry enough, you don't care. When you're hungry enough, you don't care where you have to press. I'm reminded of the lady who passed, and she probably got stepped on. She was hurt, but she just wanted the touch of the tip of his garment, the hem of his garment. She was hungry for a healing. Some of us are so, we're okay with just living with the pain. We're okay with living in that situation. With just being right here, God wants us to go so much deeper this year. He wants this church. This is a beautiful church, a powerful church, one of the best churches I've ever been in. But I know God has something even greater. I know you're sitting here tonight and God is speaking to your heart. I want to do that. I want more of you, Jesus. He wants us to step out of our safe and comfortable space, and he wants us to crave him. He wants us to desire him. He always satisfies the hunger. We're so busy. Who isn't busy? Who doesn't have a schedule? Who doesn't have reminders screenshot in on your phone, or they're coming up all the time on your phone? Your calendar's full. Google is so busy. My calendar just keeps telling me. We're good people. We're righteous people. We're busy people. We're busy people, and it's not that we're doing bad things. We're just busy. And sometimes the word that God has spoken to us, the hunger that stirred up, and it gets filled up with things that really, it doesn't really matter. You know that little feature on our phone that they just started upgrading? How many of you have that? The screen time? Y'all, have you got that lately? Oh, whew. You have spent 5 hours today on your phone, screen time. Oh my word, talking about conviction. I mean, I prayed, but I don't think I got to spend 5 hours in prayer today. Sometimes God uses that device and convicts a little bit. Because we're finding ourselves, because it's so easy, It's so easy to be about this and to look at those things. And he's saying, I want you to be righteous. I want you to be holy. I want you to be all those things. But I need a relationship with you. I need a relationship. You know, my husband and I, we can be together. We can be busy. But I need him to sit down. Love language is quality time. And that means I want to be with him, and I want him to look in my eyes, and I want to look in his eyes, and I want him to talk to me. I do. Quality time to me is not with 10 other people. I want to be with him. He's my main squeeze, my main man. I want to be with him. That's how Jesus feels. He wants to be with me. And so it doesn't matter that I'm at the church cleaning. It doesn't matter that I'm singing in the choir. It doesn't matter that I'm teaching a Bible study even. He wants Tracy to spend time with him. And I find myself get so busy that I don't hear that still small voice, and it seems so foreign to me. And all I can do is talk to you from my heart. And baby, tell me. I got up just a few minutes and tell me when I need to stop. I grew up in church. I grew up with godly parents. I'm ashamed to sit and tell you that I could not tell you what the voice of God sounded like. I didn't know. I knew it was a still small voice, but I'd never really experienced it. So there was a time that my husband and I felt ill-equipped. I felt ill-prepared, probably. I don't know. Excuses when we started the church 10 years ago. Who am I? I can't do this. Lord, use somebody else. How many times have we sang that song? Here I am, Lord, use me. You can use anything. Well, here's how he used me. So we came home, we were at this conference, and God really spoke to us, and we said, we're going to put away some distractions. We're going to put away those distractions, the entertainment that was filling up our mind and our spirit. It wasn't bad things. It was just time. My time that God was asking of me, time that he wanted with me. I was feeding my flesh. And so we decided we were going to put some things away, and things started happening. And I started finding myself in a prayer closet. If you can't tell me where your prayer place is, you don't have one. If you can't tell me that's my chair, me and Jesus spend time in that chair every day, or and that's my place in my closet or my home, then I don't think that you really do. You got to know. You got to know him. You got to know it's not enough. See, I grew up in church. I was there every Tuesday, every Wednesday, every Saturday, every Sunday, twice. All the youth activities, things that I was there. I was faithful. I looked the part. I was what I needed to be. But God was saying, I want you to know me. And so I got to that place where I started making my prayer closet. And I just started spending time with Jesus. And all of a sudden, I heard him speak to me, and first thing I did is I doubted him. That can't be you. First word he ever spoke to me was that a man in our church was dishonest. I said, wait a minute now. This is not what I wanted. Wait a minute. I want you to tell me, God, you're going to heal somebody. I want you to use me like that. We don't get to choose how we're used. We don't get to choose how we're used. I know we always want the good stuff. I lay hands on somebody and the tumor falls off. That's what I want. Believers shall lay their hands on the sick and they shall recover. That's what I want to do. I don't get to tell him, stamp my feet and say, it's this way. And I took it to my husband. I said, this can't be God. I'm totally carnal. It's in my flesh. He just, like a good pastor does, he said, keep praying. It's good. It wasn't too much longer where we found out the man was taking from the church, stealing from the church. And I thought, God, I don't know about this, but I'm hungry. I remember the first time that God ever used me in the gifts of the Spirit. And he does tell us to crave those things and covet those things and ask and prepare for that. You need to study. If you need the word, the gifts of the Spirit, study what that is. Talk to your pastor. Open yourself up. I just used to think it was certain people that could be used. But God said, it's for everybody. If you want it, he'll give it to you. If you're hungry for it, he'll give it to you. And I said, God, I'm just so hungry. I got to a point when we started the church that I wasn't happy where I was. And I knew that there was something more. I knew that there was something more, and I want to see signs, miracles, and wonders. And first thing I had to do is I had to let go of some stuff. Not one thing was unforgiveness. I'd carried it around, and little did I know, I probably heard it preached a million times, but it didn't connect to me that the one thing that would get in the way of me and God was unforgiveness. My husband taught me this. He said, not only do we have to forgive people, we got to pray the prayer of Stephen. Lay not this into their charge. Now, it's one thing to forgive, Brother Linder. I forgive them, but punch them in the neck, Jesus. Oh, make them pay for it. I know no one in this building has ever thought that. They talked about my family. They hurt me. They hurt me. But God, I want to be used of you. I'm hungry. I'm hungry for you. So God, first of all, I want you to forgive me. And Lord, I'm going to forgive them. And I'm going to take it a step further. Did you realize that Stephen, when he was praying that, he was actually praying for Paul? Paul was in that group. Paul! He was praying. What if he had never prayed that prayer? Would there have ever been a Damascus Road experience? Lay not this. this sin to his charge. Don't make him pay for this. Who is it in our lives that is blocking how hungry you are? They put in front of you that hurt and that pain and that unforgiveness and that bitterness. And God's saying, if you'll let it go, I can fill you up. I've got a table spread. I've got all these wonderful, amazing things if you're hungry for it. I remember the first time God ever used me in the gifts of the Spirit. I was in a small room with a bunch of ministers' wives, and I felt inadequate, and I felt unworthy, and I felt too carnal. And I remember talking to God, and I said, God, I know it's not me you want to use. Use some of these other amazing, wonderful women of God. Who am I? She said, the lady that gave it, she said, speak. And I said, I'm over here arguing in my mind. If she says it one more time, I'll know it's you. And God used me that day. And I went and I called my husband. I said, baby, God used me in a way that he's never used me before. And I loved it. And I want more of it. And I don't understand everything. And I don't know where all the ins and outs. But I just say, God, I'm yours. I want you to use me. I'm hungry. It just whet my appetite for more of him. It just made me crave more of him. I remember that one time I was at a ladies' conference in miles away from our home, and we like to eat a lot, as you can tell. And one of our favorite places is a Mexican place. And years ago, when we first moved in that area, we made that our spot. And we had you can stand to your feet. I'm closing, but we had gone by there, and I said, honey, I am claiming this man and woman to be our Spanish pastor one day. And he just said, all right, baby, that's okay. Go ahead. Well, if you want to win somebody to God, you just got to keep going there. You got to love on them. You got to learn their name. I have people that are checking me out at the grocery store that are following me on Instagram. So they see all the things about church. So that's what you use social media for. If you're going to use it, go ahead and promote. Make Jesus famous, not me. And so I said, I know God's going to do something for them. So I'm at this conference, and the glory of the Lord just fell in the place. I have never been in a service that I literally... It was like a mist. I'm not exaggerating. It was like a gray mist, a glory cloud fell over that place. And I was lost in his presence. I was talking to him and loving him. And all of a sudden, he put that lady, Eloisa, in my mind. And I thought, wow, I'm not even hungry. And I started thinking about her. And the Lord said, she can't have kids. I'm going to give her a baby. And I thought, God, this can't be you. I came home and told my husband, and he said, baby, you better make sure that was Jesus for you. Go tell her. Because we can't be going back to that restaurant. And Lord, you know, we got to keep going to that restaurant. And I said, I know, I'm scared to death. I'm scared to death. And so we went there, and I couldn't. And once I had it, I couldn't even go eat my chips and salsa. I had to bring her out and tell her. And I said, I don't know your situation, but I know the Lord's going to give you a child. And so we just kept eating, and I kept saying, Jesus, you better have my back. Sometimes I have found that he gives me something because he wants to see if he can trust me with it. Some of us are no longer hungry anymore because maybe we didn't do what God told us to do. We didn't have the faith or the boldness or the confidence to go forth in what he wanted us to do. And so we kind of were happy with where we are. We kind of stepped back. But I'm asking you again tonight, is there something that you've been wanting from God? All it takes is faith. God, I know it's been a long time since you've spoken in my spirit. I know it's been a long time since you called me to that. I know it's been a long time since you woke me up in the middle of the night of prayer. I know I haven't made a lot of time for you, Jesus. Wasn't too long after that, I'm at a dinner with my friends, and I get a text. Miss Tracy, I wanted you to be the first to know. I'm pregnant with twins. I know that God, He wants to save Eloisa. I wish I could tell you that there are a Spanish pastor now. Not yet. But he did something because he wanted to see, can I trust Tracy? Will you have boldness to speak what I put inside of you? Say you want me to, you want me to use you. You're hungry for more, but I give it to you and you're like, ah, well, I'm full. I'm done. I just want a little appetizer. But God, tonight, I know that there are people that want more. I feel it in the spirit. I know it's I know the Lord's already speaking to you right now and you've already kind of brushed it off. God, not that. I used to say, God, I'm a busy mama. How am I ever going to spend time with you like I want to? I used every excuse in the book. I don't have time. I started doing a Bible study, and inside of that Bible study, eat this book, Melanie Schock's Bible study. It has a little excerpt about Nona Freeman and how she was a night owl. Any night owls? And those are not, I'm a night owl. And it's hard for me to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning to spend my time with him. And you know, I got a baby and he's already been up five times and Lord, come on. And so I read that she said, okay, God, if you want me up, you'll wake me up. So he did. And so I said, okay, here you go. The Nona Freeman prayer for night people. It really is a thing. Go look it up. And so I said, okay, Jesus, I want time with you. I'm hungry for you. And I want you and I to be like this. So I got to talk to you more than just on service times. And I got to go into a deeper dimension with you. And I want it all. And so if you want me up, well, wake me up. And the first morning, he woke me up about 2:30. And I said, Lord, have mercy, or I just went to sleep. Surely this is not you, Jesus. And I try to turn over and go back to sleep, because that's what anybody in their right mind would do. Surely it's just my flesh. Happened again the next night. And then I started, Jesus, I'm so grateful. Thank you for trusting me with this. Thank you for loving me so much that you would be my alarm clock. I have a challenge for you tonight. Not too long ago, we had to come in town because Bubby had his surgery, and we had to be there so early in the morning. We passed Planet Fitness, that devil place. Whew. It was like 4:30 or 5 in the morning, and that parking lot was full. So my goodness, there were more people at the gym than were at church yesterday. And I thought, you'll make time for what you want to make time for. And I really don't have anything against the gym. We just joined one, God help us. But I wonder what would happen if we gave him our first fruit of the day. I know we've got it about tithing, first fruit. But do we have the first fruit about our day? Before I start scrolling in my phone, can I open up his word? Before I start checking my notifications, can I spend time with you? I wanted you to come. Baby, come help me. I want you to come. I open this altar tonight. I know that it's a Wednesday night, and I don't know what you were expecting. But I know tonight God is calling for somebody to go a little bit deeper. He wants to know if you're hungry. You don't have to know everything about everything. You don't have to understand it all, but you just have to be hungry. Yo la borieta, 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 la